Can I say welcome? Thank you for joining us. We're just outside of Lakes Entrance. This is Lakes Entrance Baptist Church Online, and we're glad to be able to share with you in this way. We're right beside the Gippsland Jersey Dairy, and it's a beautiful spot with the bush and the dam and the property that we have the privilege of being on today. These have been uncertain times. It's been a really uncertain season as we've ventured through 2020, and we're only a month and a bit to go. And I think so many of us can be easily lost in the many concerns that we've faced this year, which none of us really expected. I love the way that Jesus responds to the situation after he had been in the wilderness and had been sorely tempted. And he comes back to begin to speak to us and speak to people. And it says the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he actually quotes from Isaiah 61. I'd love to read these words to you because I think they're really, really fitting for people that, yeah, we are easily lost in the concerns and in the issues, the temptations that we have faced. And it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion." And you could read on in Isaiah 61. It's just the most magnificent declaration of what God does. We're glad to have Michael Frost sharing a little with us today. And before we came to Lakes Entrance, we were part of a study group with Michael, and he always has something fresh to say. So thank you, Michael.
Hi friends, this is Michael Frost, speaking to you on behalf of Global Interaction, who, despite the enormous challenges that our world is facing at the moment, continue in the work to which God has called them, which is the mobilizing, equipping, and supporting of cross-cultural workers around the world. Do you know, it's easy at times when we have been overwhelmed by what seemed to be a barrage of challenges, from a biting drought to an extended and rageful fire season to localized flooding in some places, and now a global pandemic. I mean, it feels like we're being buffeted from every side. And it's easy. I totally understand how, in times like that, your vision can be lowered. You can just seek to deal with the things that you can deal with in getting your family through this difficult time. But I want to encourage you to not only deal with the needs that are on your plate right now, but to also lift your gaze, to have a global vision of what God is doing in this world, to be generous and joyful, even in the midst of great difficulty and challenge. Do you know, when Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, he was writing to specifically thank them for their generosity to him. You find that in that letter, not only is he thankful for them, but he is overwhelmed by their joy and their faithfulness in the midst of great difficulty. But it's in another letter that you discover the real beauty and the power of the generosity of the Philippians. It's when Paul is writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He's encouraging the Corinthians to be generous to the church in Jerusalem, which was facing famine. And he says in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 2, "Be like the church in Macedonia," which includes the Philippians, who allowed their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty to well up in rich generosity. Wow. Not just overflowing joy, not just rich generosity, but in fact, their dealing with extreme poverty was one of the things that shaped them as the faithful people they were. I pray that you would rediscover that overflowing joy in the midst of difficulty, that you would well up with rich generosity, that you would lift your gaze and have a global vision at this difficult time, while also continuing to deal with the needs that are at hand. In this time, when we have cross-cultural workers around the world continuing to serve God, I pray that your overflowing joy, that your challenging times would combine to create the kind of rich generosity that Paul praised the Philippians for. Global Interaction are sticking with it, folks. Nothing can divert them from the path to which they have been called. And I pray that you, that we, will stick with Global Interaction at this really difficult and challenging time, to the glory of God. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. We're out at Lonely Bay Walk, and it's so beautiful out here and sunny, and we're all having a picnic, and I thought it was a good place for us to start, continue to talk about our story about Elijah. Because if you remember, Elijah had told King Ahab and Queen Jezebel that there was going to be no rain until God said so, because they had turned their backs on him. And God had protected Elijah, our friend here, and I want you always to remember his name, because there's going to be lots more about him, that he was fed by the ravens and he got water from the brook. And we left Elijah last time, if you remember, where the water had dried up, and so he couldn't stay there, but God had other plans. And right here I've got some sticks that you'd make a fire with. I've got a jar here that's got flour in it, and a jug that's got oil in it. And I wonder what that has got to do with how God had looked after Elijah next. Well, God said to Elijah to go to a place called Zarephath, where there would be a widow that God had told her, to look after Elijah. And so Elijah went off to Zarephath, and I've got a picture here that might help you. Not that this is the real picture of the widow, but anyway. And here was this widow lady, and she was gathering sticks. And he went up to her and he said, "Can you give me some water to drink?" And she went off to get it. And as she was going away, he said, "And can you make some bread for me?" And she just looked at him. She said, "What? Me? What are you talking about? I've only got this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil, and I'm going home now to use what I've got to make some bread for my son and myself to have a meal, and then we're going to wait to die because I haven't got anything else." And you must be kidding. But Elijah said to her, "Do not worry," he said. "God will look after you. That the flour will keep on and the oil will keep going until the day that I say, God said, that it would rain." And you know that's exactly what happened. And they ate bread and everything was going fine. But you know, you think sometimes when God asks you to do things, it always works out, doesn't it? Well, you know what? Even though she didn't believe in God, she did believe what Elijah did, and she believed that he knew God. But then her son got sick. He got very, very sick. And she was very upset and very angry at Elijah. She said, "What have I got to do with you, man of God, that this should happen to me? Is it because of all the bad things that I have done that God is punishing me, even though I've done what you've asked?" So she was pretty angry and upset. So what was Elijah going to do about that? Here was this sick boy. Not only was this boy sick, but he stopped breathing. So he died. And Elijah had compassion. He reached out to that lady and to her son, and he went up to the boy who was lying on the bed, not breathing, and he pleaded with God. He said, "God, what are you doing? Please, this lady has done all this to me, for me, and now look what's done. Have mercy, God, and bring this boy back to life." And you know what? That's exactly what God did. And Elijah was able to take that boy back and give it back to this lady. And you know, the amazing thing about this story is that this lady, who didn't know who God was, she didn't believe in him. And she had believed Elijah, and God had shown how powerful he was and that he was the one true God. that because he healed her son, she came to believe him and her son. So not only did God save Elijah's life, he saved this lady and her son's life. Isn't God amazing? And so we just need to trust him, even though we don't see things happening. And God can use anyone, even those who don't yet believe in him. So let's just thank God for how great he is. So Father, we just thank you so much that you love and care for everyone, no matter what country they come from, no matter what they believe. You love them and you want them to know Jesus as their Savior. Help us to be witnesses and tell others about you and how great you are. Amen. Bye.
Thank you, Lynn, for sharing with the boys and girls and with us as well. That was taken out at Lonely Bay when we were out there on Tuesday. About 30 of us had a lovely time together, and it was obviously a very pretty place to be as well. It's pretty amazing to be reminded of the many situations, as Lynn has done today, where God is able to provide, where God has got this. And he reminded me of that fact as we were travelling back from Goongra after doing some fire recovery work a week ago. And it was a beautiful experience as Lynn was driving the car, and the Lord just used a number of situations to remind me as I was thinking about you, thinking about the church and how we move ahead. And the Lord just reminded me that he's got this. And I want to read something where there were some disciples long ago who were feeling like everything had come seriously unstuck and all their hopes were dashed, and they weren't sure that God really had this, and yet God was there. And you'll be familiar with this. It's a beautiful account of two people walking out of Jerusalem after Jesus had died on the cross, and they'd heard reports of his resurrection, but they were just so unsure. And it's found in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. And it says, and I'll read a little here, and it says, now on the same day, and that's the same day that after the women had found that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, and I think this is amazing, with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ had to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. when he was at the table with them. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared before their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? You can read on through to the end of the chapter, and you will be blessed as you do, as I pray that your hearts too will burn within you as the Lord opens his word to your heart. I want to just say a couple of things to help us in this time of what we probably feel is a time of real uncertainty, and a time when we perhaps think we're at the end of this time of spread of infection and time of restriction and isolation, which we've found really hard. And I think it's really easy and actually really natural to have a blinkered view. And one of the reasons I've stood out here is because some many years ago I had the privilege of learning to drive off a very accomplished horseman. I had the privilege of learning to drive a couple of draft horses, a couple of Clydesdales, and it was part of my job. I loved it. And I used to take a wagon load of children for a ride a few kilometres up the road from Mill Valley Ranch and then turn around and come back again. And I used to drive a stallion also, a Clydesdale stallion, and he was a little bit unpredictable, and so I didn't use him as much as these two Clydesdales, Joe and Burster. And I've actually brought with me a bridle with the blinkers, and this would have been actually a pretty flash part of harness in its day. And it's got the bit and blinkers and everything. And I've kept these, and they're a little bit worse for wear now, but they would have been quite flash in their day. And the reason I've brought them is because I think it's easy for us to have a blinkered view of the world around us, a blinkered view of our lives. And I think we've got to be careful about who puts the blinkers. Now, I used to put the blinkers on these two horses so that they wouldn't be distracted by what might be happening about them. A vehicle might go past on the road or might be coming toward them, and or dogs or people or motorbikes or all sorts of things could be a distraction. And so I put those blinkers on the horses so that they would just focus where I wanted them to focus and not be distracted or upset or disturbed in any way by what was going on around them. And it was good for them. They were able to stay focused and stay directed where I wanted them to be, as I just quietly would urge them along. I'd often say, you know, walk on Joe, walk on Burster. Joe was very reliable and would just lean into the harness and he would do his job. And poor old Burster, he was well named because he would just give a little burst and his shoulders would hit the collar and he would put in a bit of effort and then he would jump back. And Burster was kind of like that. And I would always be gently trying to ease him up into the harness to do his job like his partner Joe was. And there are a few things that taught me about what it is to know and follow Jesus, because Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And the reason we can find rest for our souls in Christ is because he actually takes most of the load. And we join him in that and learn from him as we go. But one of the things about this picture and about these blinkers is I think it's easy for us, like these disciples of old, to actually be walking away with a blinkered view, to be walking away with our hopes dashed, with walking away with uncertainty, walking away with pain or disappointment, walking away and blinkered by our isolation or by everything that seems to be going wrong. Sometimes we can be blinkered by our own shame and reminded of our failures. Or we can be blinkered by things that people have said and things that we would just don't want to be part of, or things that have hurt us. And we might ask the question, where is God in this? Well, the thing I see from this passage, and I'm sure these disciples had that same thing in mind, where is God in this? Well, as we know from the scripture we've just read, pertaining to Cleopas and his friend, God was right there. Jesus was right there. And Jesus was asking the questions, just asked a couple of simple questions as he came and joined them, and he asked them what they were talking about. What are you discussing together as you walk along? And then he asked them another question in verse 19, when they said, "Oh, don't you know about the things that have gone on? And you must be the only one that doesn't know." Well, he was the one that was actually, front and center of it all. And then he says, "What things?" Asked another question. And so they unloaded a whole lot more. And he's right there. He's right there listening. And I think sometimes we forget that God is right there. And sometimes we probably need a good question. And sometimes we certainly need him to listen to us. And he does. And then he's right there. Sometimes while we're doing all the talking. And sometimes while we're believing our own story. And he's right there. And he's right there actually to address the issues, as he does in this situation, when he actually says something that probably at first might seem a bit harsh and hard, but I love this in verse 25, where he says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe." And I can be like that. You can be like that. And we can hold on to things for so long that we need to trust in our Saviour Jesus. And yes, sometimes he has to say some hard things to us. Lynn was driving while we were coming back from Goongroo the other day, and I was thinking and felt concerned about how we're going as a family of believers. And the Lord just reminded me again and again and again, I've got this. He is the one that made a promise long ago and reminds us with a rainbow. I saw one of those so close. If there was a pot of gold at the end of it, I reckon I've only been a couple hundred metres, I could have got hold of it, knowing full well that the rainbow keeps moving as I would move toward it. But there's something better than a pot of gold. They're the faithful promises of God. And that's what Jesus points these followers of his too. He points them to the promises of God and the promises about himself that he had to fulfill. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. What a conversation that would have been. But still, they didn't really know that God was right there. Jesus was right there with them. I think we need to be a people who take God at his word. I think we need to be a people who say, "Lord, I need you to take the blinkers off so that I can see what you want me to see, so that I can have this perspective that you know I need to have, because my perspective, the blinkers that I put on, are inadequate. And they usually just focus on my situation, my circumstances, my feelings, and I miss out on your perspective." I love it where they urged him to stay. That's really beautiful. "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. and began to give it to them. And in verse 31, it says this, "Then their eyes were opened." Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Oh, how we need to let the Lord open our eyes. How we need to let him work in our lives so that we can recognize that he is God in control. And then he disappeared from their sight. What he needed to do with them, he'd done. He'd been with them in the pain. He'd been with them in their disappointment. He'd been with them in the unloading of their burden. He'd been with them to point them to what he had just done for them and for us. In verse 32, and it's one verse that just stands out to me and has done for many years, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" You know, I think sometimes we make the mistake of doing all the talking. I think sometimes we make the mistake of putting on the blinkers ourselves, and we withdraw and shut ourselves down, and we miss out on what the Lord wants to say to us. We miss out on the things that he wants us to see. But our hearts can burn within us when we listen to what he says as we're walking along the road, as he meets us in the midst of the circumstances. I know many of you know that, but many of us, myself included, are so tempted to do the ABMS, the all by myself thing. Try to do it in my own strength. Try to work it out myself. Well, those kind of blinkers, the ABMS blinkers, they won't do much for you. But to know the welcome of the Lord, and to know this loving, hopeful, open door that Jesus provides is what we all need. If you read on, you will see that how he points them to the cross, to what he did. And really, it's God declaring that I've got this. That's what it's all about. It's God saying, no matter what the situation, I've got this. And Jesus finishes as he then addresses the whole group of the disciples as Cleopas and his mate ran back to see the disciples and explain what had happened. Jesus is there speaking with the rest of his disciples, and he says to them, "You know, repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in my name." And we need repentance, we need forgiveness of sin. Jesus has got that. He says that you are my witnesses. And we are his witnesses. We have witnessed that reality of repenting and asking for his forgiveness. If that's been a step you've taken, you are a witness to that fact. And same in verse 49, it says, Jesus says to his disciples, "After saying you are witnesses of these things, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." We're not a people on our own. We are people within whom his Spirit lives. And we, like the disciples of old, can be clothed with power from on high. And we can know that the Lord has got this. Well, I pray that as we ponder these things, that we will know that we can trust our Saviour Jesus. We can trust him when our strength is small. And I've just asked that as we pray now and as we listen to this last song, you would continue to pray and bring your concerns, your worries, the things that you felt have undone you, bring them to this one, this Lord Jesus Christ, who's got this. Let's pray. Our precious Lord, we are so grateful that you are there. We are so grateful that you never leave us or forsake us. We are so grateful that you've called us into your family. We are so grateful that you give us the opportunity to repent and to have our sins forgiven. We're so grateful that, Lord, we can remember back at times when we've seen you working, as Cleopas and his friend would have recounted that story many times of their encounter with you on that road to Emmaus. Father, may we be glad to speak of the mighty things that you've done, sometimes in really beautiful and quiet ways. Father, we pray that we might also be ones who rely on the working of your Spirit in our lives, that we might be clothed with power from on high as well, and that we might have the wherewithal that you have promised to be your witnesses in this day. And Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord, help us to trust you more and more, and that our certainty and our hope would be in you and not in the circumstances or the situations that are about us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.